Canada Land, funded by you.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown, and today we're talking about what happened when a small-town city council became ground zero for internet trolls, doxing, conspiracy theories, harassment, and other forms of participatory populist democracy.
Yeah, we're going to start digging into your family. We're going to start digging into your husband, digging into your kids, digging into everybody around you. You will be humiliated, embarrassed, and you will have your names, your faces, your pictures, and everything else dragged through the bloody mud.
Wait for that. So, is Canada broken? Not to give too much credence to an angry campaign slogan, but is there anything to that? Is our democracy broken? Our system of governance? Our very ability to speak to each other and just have a civil conversation where both parties are living in the same reality? Can we still do that, or is our ability to do that broken? And if it is, who broke it? Was it the wacko woke left? Was it the lunatic alt-right? Did COVID just break us all? Or is all of this kind of talk just culture war nonsense? These are big theoretical questions, but they can take a very practical and real form right in our communities, in our neighborhoods, just down the street, in our local town hall. Here's an example. It's a weird story that came to our attention just recently out of Pickering, Ontario. Pickering, a city of about 100,000 people, it's basically a suburb of Toronto, just east of here, perhaps best known for its Springfield-like nuclear power station. Just before New Year's, a video was published on the city's YouTube channel. It was titled December 30th, 2024. It opens with an address from Pickering's mayor, Kevin Ash.
Over the past 2 years, the city of Pickering has witnessed a growing infiltration of alt-right individuals, ideologies, and influences that have created an atmosphere of uncertainty, fear, and intimidation over our council, our staff, our residents, and indeed the broader community. As a result, the City of Pickering will be undertaking measures to enhance the personal safety and security for all.
It goes on to accuse a city councillor of being at the heart of all this.
Councillor Robinson has caught the attention of the alt-right movement and was advertised as a guest speaker for an alt-right freedom event later in the year. Since then, Councillor Robinson has been making baseless and increasingly erratic claims about the City of Pickering, Mayor, Council, and staff.
That video, with its scary music, goes on to detail many of the things that have happened to city staff. Threats, emails, voice messages, Councillor Robinson appearing on a podcast with a host once described as a far-right gadfly and convicted hate peddler. Ultimately, this all led to the mayor deciding that city council would no longer meet in person. And now, there is a criminal investigation into Councillor Lisa Robinson. Throughout all of this, Councillor Robinson maintains that the city is simply trying to silence her.
What's happening behind the scenes at the City of Pickering is nothing short of an all-out attack on your right to be informed and my ability to represent you effectively.
What is really going on here? People that we might call fringe candidates have been appearing more and more in Canadian politics. They have been showing up at all levels, including school board trustee votes across the country. And in the 2021 federal election, the People's Party of Canada received nearly a million votes. Whatever language you want to tag these people with, call them fringe if you like, they are democratically elected officials. Just because people have different opinions in politics, if they are elected, well, we have to respect the will of the people. Right? So, is Councillor Lisa Robinson a threat to the mayor and to Pickering City Council? Or is the City Council of Pickering trying to stifle a duly elected official and inhibit her ability to do her job and represent the constituents who voted for her? Is this just the new normal of politics in the 21st century? And just what the hell is going on in Pickering? Our reporter, Andre Proulx, went to Pickering to get this story. And in a minute, he'll tell the story to Canada Land's Tristan Capicchione. Wait for it.
All right, Andre Proulx, you're going to tell me a little bit about what's going on in Pickering. But first, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? I know you from your work at Canada Land. You did a piece a couple years ago for us about wine writing and wine reviews. But you also have some experience in local politics.
Yeah, I'm a longtime talk radio producer, cut my teeth in Regina and spent most of my career in Toronto. And I spent my time at CFRB during the Rob Ford years. And let me tell you, I think any of us who lived in Toronto, we can remember that it wasn't just Rob and Doug on council. We had our characters, whether it was Giorgio Mammoliti or Paula Fletcher, who was at a city council meeting one time screaming about the radio station.
I can only imagine. So this isn't your first rodeo.
No, definitely not.
All right. Well, let's meet our cast of characters here. So let's start with the mayor. Who is Mayor Kevin Ash?
Hey, Pickering, it's Mayor Kevin Ash. I'm here for my monthly update and recap of our council meeting of February 24th. First of all, we approved the artificial turf replacement at Kinsman Park in Bev Morgan, a $2 million investment in infrastructure.
Mayor Kevin Ash is a longtime politician. To describe him, a large dude, bald. He's been on city council many years in the past, and his father was even the mayor back in the 70s. Here he is on a local YouTube show that was doing a mayoral debate in 2022.
I am the establishment candidate. I accept that. And being the establishment candidate means people recognize that I have the experience and the leadership qualities to move our city forward. I'm honored to have the endorsement of our current mayor, our former mayor, and if the other two mayors were alive, I'm sure they would have endorsed me, too.
So we've got kind of a stereotypical mayor. That's kind of what comes to mind here. What about on the other side? Who is Councillor Lisa Robinson?
Lisa looks like a typical city councillor politician. Single mom, long blonde hair. She has worked in real estate in the past. If you saw a picture of Lisa Robinson in a lineup of the best realtors in the GTA, you would not be able to pick her out. But she has also worked as a paralegal prior to becoming a city councillor.
And on council?
Ooh, Lisa Robinson is definitely a loud voice on city council.
So, I mean, the corruption does start at the top, and I will not take that back, Marissa, and I'm sorry if your feelings were hurt, but you know what? Life's hard. Wear a helmet, okay?
Please.
Excuse me. Order, please.
Order.
Yep. Order. Yep. Thank
two,
you.
2 minutes and 30 seconds.
So, as I was saying,
She has been trying really, really hard to be a politician. She has failed runs for being an MP, failed run for MPP for the province of Ontario.
So she ran for both federal and provincial politics. What were these runs? Why did she fail?
When she was running to be MP, she was running for the Conservative Party when Erin O'Toole was the leader of the party. She was actually removed from the campaign. She was accused of Islamophobic tweets from an account that was attributed to her, which she denied. However, she was still removed from the campaign. When she was running to be MPP, she was running for the Ontario Party.
What's that?
Well, it's a fringe party that was started by Derek Sloan. I don't know if you remember Derek Sloan.
The name rings a bell. He was a bit of a controversial figure, right?
Conservative MP Derek Sloan is being removed from his party. This after a report indicating he accepted a donation from a man with ties to racist groups.
Lisa ended up not getting a lot of votes in that provincial election.
She ran in the 2021 federal election. Got booted out. Then in the spring of 2022, she ran for the provincial election, didn't get enough votes, not even close. And then in October of 2022, she ran for city council in Pickering.
That is correct.
Hi, Hi, I'm Lisa Robinson, and I'm running to be your next city councilor for Pickering Ward 1. Over the past few weeks, I have been knocking on hundreds of doors, and I am getting the same concerns day after day. Our taxes are too high. As your city councilor, I have a solution to lower your taxes and to put money back.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that also sounds just like every other politician I've ever heard. You know, lower taxes and knocking on doors. Nothing about this sounds really surprising to me, I guess. Like, so what's actually happening in Pickering now? Because as I understand it, police have launched this investigation into criminal harassment against Lisa Robinson. Can you tell me any more about this? Like, how do we get to the point of a criminal investigation?
Well, the reason that this story ended up on our radar has to do with a video that was published December 30th, 2024, by the city of Pickering.
Right, yeah, this is the clip we heard at the top of the episode.
There's a thumbnail at the beginning of the video that says, "Warning, viewer discretion is advised." And then the video opens up with Mayor Kevin Ash.
Over the past 2 years, the city of Pickering has witnessed a growing infiltration of alt-right individuals. As a result, the city of Pickering will be undertaking measures to enhance the personal safety and security for all.
So what is the personal safety and security for all? Like, what does that mean?
So council meetings have moved online as a result of concerns for safety.
When we get back from the break, you're going to tell me all about this long, sordid history, and we'll figure out just how deep the Pickering rabbit hole goes. As I understand, this problem has been going on between the mayor and Lisa Robinson for a long time now. The city has sanctioned Lisa 4 times. Like, what are these sanctions?
All right, so the first sanction has to do with a Halloween charity event.
Really? I mean, like, how could this Halloween charity event have led to a sanction from the city? Like, what happened?
Lisa throws an annual Halloween bash at her property, and she needed to have a shipping container on her property for a few days that holds all the props, all the, you know, the haunted house,
right.
accoutrement, if you would, and some of the neighbors complained about it.
Okay, so the neighbors complained, and how does that lead to a sanction?
In response to the neighbors complaining, Lisa went to social media and called them out by name. She maintains it was a sarcastic post where she says you can thank, you know, name one, name two, name three. Someone complained to the integrity commissioner, and the integrity commissioner said what she did was considered bullying, and she was docked 30 days pay.
Right, so a citizen or someone can file a complaint with the integrity commissioner. The commissioner will investigate, release a report and a recommendation, and then city council will act on this recommendation or not. And so in this case, it's considered bullying because it goes against the city's code of conduct and it's not befitting of city staff, correct?
That is correct. That is correct.
So she's docked 30 days pay. What is that for a city councilor? What does a city councilor get paid?
So a city councilor in Pickering makes about $50,000 a year. It would work out to about $4,000.
That's a fair chunk of money. And so this second sanction, she's at like some kind of public school board meeting and she's out there with like a bullhorn microphone and she's like addressing a crowd outside. What, can you tell me more about this?
Yeah, so Lisa is at this school board meeting and she's getting the crowd definitely a little bit riled up when she goes and she's reading some motions she's planning on introducing at Pickering City Council.
My first motion that I desperately need somebody to sign for me has to do with drag shows and pride parades. Now for my notice of motion. Whereas a drag show is a form of...
So in this one, she talks about how like drag queen story times and pride marches or pride parades should be classified as adult live performances and thus admission to children should be limited or restricted completely.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Another one has to do with the flag raising. So whereas public spaces such as schools...
And so in this motion, she's saying that the city should only fly official flags and that the pride flag is a non-government flag that is related to a special interest group.
Yeah. Thank you.
They lied and they said that, oh, I was doing it and that I didn't want to fly the pride flag. And then setting the narrative that I'm transphobic and homophobic when I can tell you I have people in my life, in my own family that are homosexuals. Not that anyone needs to know that. So I'm definitely not transphobic nor homophobic. And some of my friends are transgenders.
Why is she sanctioned for this?
The reason for the sanctions have to do, first off, with the timing of it. She was planning on putting these motions forward just prior to Pride Month.
Okay.
Some complained to the Integrity Commissioner, and the report cited that it's Lisa's behavior that was problematic. Her behavior going to the school board meeting, speaking in a bullhorn, is in contravention of the code of conduct.
And so people complain.
The investigation is complete, and Lisa is docked 60 days pay.
She's docked 60 days pay now. So that's $4,000 the first time. Now it's $8,000. So there's a clear escalation. Okay. And then because she's getting docked all this pay, there's like a crowdfunder set up for her or something?
Yes, after this sanction, someone decided to set up a crowdfund for her, for which Lisa has raised about $13,000 to date.
$13,000 since December 2023. That covers about how much she lost in the first two sanctions, but there are more sanctions that came. Sanction number three, this comes a little bit later, but like a year later or something. This gets handed down in September of 2024. What happened in sanction three?
Well, you talk about escalation. Sanction 3 is definitely an escalation on all counts. There's a whole laundry list of things that was mentioned in the Integrity Commissioner's report.
How many things?
There were 10 things that were listed in the report.
10?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Like, are they all super interesting, or can you just like read me a couple and give me a sense of what was going on here?
I think the most notable things on this list would be publicly denouncing and attacking Black History Month.
Okay.
Equating the loss of pay for the previous code violations with being a modern-day slave.
Ooh, and those two together don't sound very good.
No, they definitely don't. And then the third one, associating with a foreign nationalist politician known for racist and Islamophobic views.
I'm sorry, so who's this foreign nationalist politician?
The politician is German MP Christine Anderson. She comes from the far-right party in Germany, which is known for having anti-Islam views.
I see. Okay. Over the course of a year or so, lots of people make complaints. The Integrity Commissioner goes through all of them and gives another sanction. So what's the sanction this time?
The sanction this time is the maximum that's available to be recommended by the Integrity Commissioner. That's 90 days of dock pay.
90 days of dock pay. So $4,000, then $8,000, and now an additional $12,000. That's definitely a lot. What else could she do? How do we get to a fourth sanction? What's this fourth sanction?
She accused city councilors and staff of being corrupt. She mentions the CAO, or Chief Administrative Officer, specifically.
I'd get rid of our CAO because, you know, the corruption's at the top. Get rid of the CAO. Get rid of, like, you know, the city solicitor. Get rid of a bunch of the directors, especially the ones that were in cahoots, and actually tear City Hall down and build it right back up from the bottom and give it to the people.
This is on a show called The Truth Trumpet. And so what kind of corruption is she referring to here? What does corrupt mean in this context?
I mean, corruption is a word that Lisa Robinson uses a lot, especially on her YouTube channel and social media. She uses the word so frequently, it's hard to pinpoint any one specific time, even in the Integrity Commissioner's report.
More people complain about this, and we've already had the maximum sanction. What happens from here?
Well, this is another 90 days of dock pay.
Another $12,000 or so for a grand total of $36,000 over the course of all the sanctions. Jesus.
And what I found particularly interesting about this sanction was while the Integrity Commissioner was reading the findings of the report, he basically said that if Lisa were to apologize and retract her statement that the CAO is corrupt and that there's corruption at City Hall, that should be factored into any punishment that's doled out by City Council. But she instead doubled down on social media.
So this is yet another blatant abuse of power and absurd overreach by the CAO, which is evident in another letter that she sent me on December the 9th, where she then threatened me and gives me restrictions on communicating with city staff simply for speaking the truth in the above quote about firing some of the directors. She claims that this comment created a toxic work environment. Yet she fails to take responsibility for the corruption that lies within her administration. Instead of firing directors who blatantly lie and engage in unethical behavior.
We've heard all about these sanctions, and okay, I think I can see where some of the concerns come from either side. You know, Lisa might feel that the city is blowing certain things out of proportion, or that, you know, she's just trying to represent her constituents. The city feels like, no, she's violating the code of conduct. There have to be sanctions in place. Okay, that's fine. But after the break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how this story somehow involves a guy in Panama.
That's right. There is zero jurisdiction the Canadian government has here in Panama to say anything to me, to do anything at all to me.
So this story started with the fact that city council meetings are no longer happening in person. Traditional public access has been blocked off. They've locked the doors, so to speak. But Andre, from everything you've told me and every clip we've heard, none of it has made me feel as though City Hall is an unsafe place to be. Where is the danger? I get the feeling that there's a part of this story that you're not telling me or that you just haven't told me yet.
Well, there's some other stuff that's happening outside of the sanctions beyond Lisa Robinson. Let me play this clip for you.
Tonight, we're going to offend a whole ton of pedophiles, a whole bunch of left-wing freaks. That's right. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, all you suck. And we're going to make sure that you know it. And there's nothing that any of you can do about it anymore because I'm not in Communist Canada any longer. That's right. There is zero jurisdiction the Canadian government has here in Panama to say anything to me, to do anything at all to me. There will be no more prison time for me.
What the f*** is that? Yeah, exactly. That's the voice of Kevin J. Johnson.
What's this podcast called?
The Kevin J. Johnson Show. He refers to himself as Canada's number one podcaster, even though he typically only gets maybe 1,000 or a couple thousand views on his show on Rumble.
Yeah, it seems like some of the episodes get a couple hundred views, some get a couple thousand, but it seems like one of the videos with Lisa even got over 6,000 views, so she definitely gives a bit of a bump to some of his numbers.
He tried to run for mayor of the city of Calgary. He has been charged and convicted of multiple crimes in Canada. He pled guilty to the hate crime for anti-Muslim videos that he's posted on social media.
Okay.
During the height of the COVID pandemic, he targeted an Alberta Health Services employee, posting photos of her, asking his followers to track down her address. For that crime, he pleaded guilty of criminal harassment.
Let's welcome Lisa Robinson, city councillor in Pickering.
Lisa appeared on his podcast.
The show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with the mayor. There's Pickering pedophile profile of Mayor Kevin Ashe.
Kevin
905. 426-09. Is that his cell phone? I found this. I got a friend of mine who's a private eye, and he got me a whole bunch of phone numbers. What is that, his cell phone?
It looks like it might be. I'd have to try and look it up on my phone because I don't know any of their numbers.
So here we hear Kevin Johnson like possibly doxing Mayor Ashe.
It's not just Mayor Ashe. In this video, they published the phone numbers and the email addresses of the entire city council for Pickering.
Right. And we're not quite clear if these are actually their personal phone numbers, but these aren't just the numbers listed on the city's website. Like, this isn't the publicly accessible information. But he's telling his listeners to contact them, right?
That's correct. To let them know how unhappy they are with the so-called pedophile agenda, he refers to all the members of city council as pedophiles repeatedly during the podcast, and there were even some moments that were more aggressive.
They shouldn't have a say in anything at all. It bothers me that my homeland, where I was born, the region that I grew up in, has gone full left-wing pedophilia. Pro-pedophilia nonsense, all right? So everyone, start the attack. Don't hit them. They deserve it. They all deserve a baseball bat in the face, every single one of them. Don't do it because the law unfortunately says it's illegal to pummel pedophiles with a bat.
I mean, he's kind of deliberately leading his audience towards what the quote-unquote right conclusion is here. He's saying, don't do this, but he's also being very clear that they deserve a baseball bat to the face. Lisa maintains she had nothing to do with that comment.
When that comment was made, I was actually removed from the show while it was said.
She was removed from the show immediately before, but then brought back after.
Down financially. All right, I said my piece. Lisa, you're back.
And meanwhile, all throughout the podcast, Lisa does nothing to refute what's being said. Like, this is a couple of hours of this rhetoric that's continuing on.
Yeah, she wasn't technically around to push back against, like, the baseball bat comments, but she didn't push back specifically about all the mentions of her colleagues being pedophiles. And after the news started covering her podcast appearance, she came out and said,
I do not condone anything that Mr. Johnson said in a hateful manner or that advocates violence against any of my fellow councillors. I want to make it perfectly clear that I reject and disassociate myself from any such rhetoric.
So, okay, I mean, then that's pretty clear. Maybe in the middle of a live conversation, you might be caught off guard by something. You're not sure how to react or what to say. So she's apologized and things are good now.
Yeah, except she decided to go back on the show four more times.
Four more times? Like, geez, we had a hard enough time booking her for one interview.
I mean, it's not like she didn't have the opportunity. We exchanged text messages and emails. I had a chance to speak with Lisa Robinson on the phone for about a half an hour.
Oh, so you are for freedom of expression?
Well, I'm a journalist, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, I like what you've said so far, but...
Well, that's fair enough. I tuned in to the right now, online
meeting. It is insane what's going on.
Yeah, I mean...
The thing we've got so far is to, like, you know, talk about wanting to stop from paying... for my internet, my phone, my car allowance, like everything completely, and being a single mom to like not get paid for 9 months and also to shut down all of my benefits and stuff. Are these like same people that we're dealing with? Like, I wouldn't even wish that on my worst enemy.
We were supposed to set up another time to speak, but she was fairly elusive. I even spent a Friday evening when she said she'd be available with an open Zoom meeting for 2 hours waiting for her to show up, and she declined the opportunity.
And so when it comes to a question of safety for city council, Kevin J. Johnson had this call out to reach out to city councilors, and he put their phone numbers and their emails and stuff. And again, these weren't the phone numbers listed on the website, correct?
That is correct.
Nevertheless, the city did receive a threatening call.
Yeah, the city has received threatening voicemail messages. They have an example of it in the December 30th video that was posted by the city. Let's just play that for you, complete with the scary music that was added by the city of Pickering.
This is a message for you. It's called accountability, and you're going to get smashed with accountability, let me tell you. Because the two rodent maggot can go themselves with your... We live in democracy, not dictatorship. You either stop doing what you're doing and resign, or you're going to get held accountable. And we're not going to stop there, okay? We're going to start digging into your family. We're going to start digging into your husbands, digging into your kids, digging into everybody around you. You will be humiliated, embarrassed, and you will have your names, your faces, your pictures, and everything else dragged through the bloody mud. You.
Okay, Andre, so what I'm hearing is... On this podcast, Kevin J. Johnson releases the numbers, invites people to contact Pickering, says some threatening things like with a baseball bat. We then hear this voicemail message. What is the connection that the mayor and city council feel between all these things? Like, why is Lisa Robinson being investigated? Why have town council meetings gone online? How are these things connected?
Well, I reached out to Mayor Kevin Ash, and he sent me the following statement. The integrity commissioner was investigating a complaint by myself and the five other counselors in respect to her participation on 5 occasions on the Kevin J. Johnson podcast. The integrity commissioner has an obligation to immediately cease their investigation if they believe there is criminality and refer it to the police.
And the integrity commissioners are lawyers, so they have a pretty good sense of what is or isn't criminal.
I know that if I received a voicemail like that, I would certainly think twice about holding public meetings. It's worth noting that for all the safety concerns that the mayor and council have cited with regard to Robinson, she argues that she has also been threatened and harassed by counselors, but that the integrity commissioner's office has dismissed these complaints.
The IC's dismissal of multiple valid complaints brought by me and others against council members, including things such as sexual harassment, psychological harassment, threats of violence, bullying, and much, much more, further demonstrates their bias.
There is no integrity commissioner or police investigation ongoing into any of these claims, to my knowledge.
Now, another result of this conflict is that the city has restricted who can speak at and record city council meetings. So for a resident to speak up at city council, they either have to get their item on the agenda beforehand or have it approved by city council. Lisa takes issue with this.
Not only is the public not allowed to record or they will be trespassed and kicked out by police officers, the media is not allowed to record in our chambers unless there's a mover, a seconder, and you have to get 2/3 votes.
The city says that they're trying to mitigate that concern by broadcasting all their meetings online. But being able to engage with your city council online is not the same as being able to do it in person. For Mayor Ash, he sees things a bit differently.
First of all of our meetings are on YouTube, so there is an opportunity for people to access the video of the meeting. If a journalist wanted to participate, you know, there is a mechanism to get consent of council, and we've granted that. The Toronto Star did it on one occasion. Rebel Media did it on one occasion.
earlier we talked about the fact that Mayor Ash is like this lifelong politician who represents the establishment. And Councillor Robinson is decidedly not the establishment. She wants to tear down City Hall, right? Is this just the new politics of the 21st century? Are we no longer able to meet in person to talk? Have politics become so toxic that we have to